The FAA's war on hangar homes continues with a new through-the-fence policy. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. Brent started this organization in response to kind of a self-contradictory maze of FAA statements on through-the-fence agreements and the real threat that they'd be eliminated altogether as an option for airports to develop in the way they see fit and to generate revenue as well. We're here to talk today about what's new since we talked last back in March and also what's happening now on the regulatory front with the FAA's new proposed policy for through-the-fence. Brent, thanks for taking some time out.
Well, thank you for having me, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Well, the last time we talked, legislation was imminent, which would have removed the FAA's primary excuse for banning through the fence, and that was this notion that hangar homes adjacent to airports are not a compatible land use, unquote. Where does that stand and what has happened since then?
Well, the basic issue has to do with the fact that the FAA has never truly delineated a hangar home residence from a just residence that is not airport related. And they decided last year that any residence, whether it was connected to a hangar or not, would be incompatible land use. And therefore, if an airport allowed a hangar home, that it would be not in compliance with the FAA's requirements and therefore not eligible for airport improvement program monies. This caught sort of everybody by surprise because up until about 2 years ago, the FAA had routinely approved hangar home residence accesses to the airport. And when the ruling came out in October 1st of 2009, everyone was sort of stunned, and we mobilized to essentially try to put some pressure on the FAA to change this ruling. Every point that the FAA made for why they felt hangar homes were incompatible land use were essentially proven incorrect or not valid or off point. And because the FAA was not showing any willingness to change, that we got some bills introduced into the Congress, one on the House side by Representative Sam Graves from Northwest Missouri, who's a Republican, and one from the senator from Oklahoma on the Senate side. The Senate side bill died very quickly, and I'm not sure why that happened. It had been attached to the FAA funding bill, which has still not actually been passed. So that's sort of in limbo, and Congressman Graves' bill has been sort of put on back burners because there have been other more pressing issues in front of Congress. That bill is now coming to the forefront with a hearing scheduled actually on September 22nd now in front of the Transportation Committee. But in the meantime, the FAA released actually just yesterday, and it's published in the Federal Register today on September 9th, a revision to their policy. Their policy was 5190.6B, and this is a revision to that policy specifically related to residential through-the-fence access. And the FAA, to their credit, listened to people at Oshkosh, at the AOPA meeting down in Florida. They listened to the comments at several airports around the country where people have through-the-fence access. And I think that they realized, especially when we pointed out that through some Freedom of Information Act requests, that they didn't have any data to support their position, that they might want to change the way they were thinking. And subsequently, this new proposed policy change would allow current through-the-fence access from residential properties to continue. It would allow for subdivisions that are already platted that may not have every hangar home built on it already to continue that construction, but it would forbid any new construction of hangar homes on unplatted subdivisions at this point.
Before we go any further, let me get you to address what sounds like a dramatic misunderstanding within the FAA's bureaus at some point, and that is the idea that people who have hangar homes are sponging off the taxpayer because taxpayer funds have been expended to improve an airport. In reality, if you talk to managers of airports who are in this situation, they say that having a hangar home community is a crucial part of their financial viability.
That's correct. Hangar home communities essentially pay access fees that help support the airport. Plus, they also pay for fuel and keep the airport viable by the amount of traffic that they produce. So the contention initially was that the FAA felt, and this was related to literally two people in their airport office, that felt that people who had hangar homes benefited unjustly from airport improvements to their local airport from federal funds because of that access. And that was sort of like saying, well, if I have a home and there's a bus stop in front of it, and the government through their Obama bucks decide to improve that bus stop and put a glass shelter there, that I'm benefiting unfairly by my close access to that bus stop. And that was just a ridiculous contention. Plus, if there is any value improvement to homes or to hangar homes because of the access to the airport, they will support the local economy by paying a higher tax rate because of that increased value.
Well, you could point at any number of programs in the federal government where people who don't pay taxes get benefits. I mean, I don't even understand why any government agency would even go there. When we come back from the break, Brent, let's talk specifically about what has changed under the new policy and what action we might want listeners to take if they're interested or affected by this policy. Brent Blue is my guest. More in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org, talking about a new FAA proposal which would allow existing residential through the fence agreements to be honored, but no new ones to be initiated. And Brent, I guess there are a lot of things in government that are grandfathered, but this seems kind of unfair to people who hadn't gotten to a certain point in the process yet and wanted to take advantage of this economic model to build a viable airport. Where do we go from here? What's the future of the legislation on the land use issue? And what should listeners do if they feel impacted by this?
Well, the first thing is that they should comment on the proposed policy. And the proposed policy is docket number FAA-2010 or 210. -0831, and they can search that online and find it, and there's a comment area on that. It's a long URL, otherwise I would give it to you, but you can find it at www.regulations.gov and just search 0831. But comment on this proposal. And I think it's important to acknowledge that the FAA has come around, and the fact that they are approving current through the fence agreements is important. But I think that this banning of future through the fence agreements is not justified. And one of the basis of the FAA's position is they are concerned that if there are through the fence agreements around airports, that the airport will not be able to expand in the future because they would end up in condemnation processes that would be difficult because of residents, hangar home residences versus other types of structures. And the fallacy in the argument is that if airports aren't economically viable now, there may not be an airport there to expand in 20 or 30 years. And that's why I think it's important for everybody to understand and support through-the-fence agreements, because they really do help the airport survive.
Okay, what is the future of community planners who want to design hangar homes around runways? Is it just a matter of plan to do it without any FAA assistance and go forward that way?
Well, currently, of course, everyone who has a private airport that does not receive any federal monies can do anything they want to with their airport. There's no problem in that regard. But there are many airports around the country that have received federal monies that are not doing well. We've all seen the problems in general aviation related to not only the current economy, but the price of fuel and the reduced number of hours being flown by GA aircraft. And we need to support these airports, or they're going to start closing because they're not viable. I think we've all heard stories or seen where developers have convinced various airport owners to essentially sell the airport for regular development. And we don't want that to happen. We want to keep as many airports open as we can. And I think that through-the-fence agreements are one of the things that help keep these airports open.
All right, Brent, time for your 30-second pitch here. Through-the-fence.org, as an organization, what are your needs and how can people help you?
Well, one of the most important things is to go to throughthefence.org and sign up for the forums, not because you want to post anything, but when you sign up for the forum, you'll be on our email list. When legislation comes before Congress, when there's a vote coming up or other issues that are important to notify people, we will send out blast emails to let you know to contact your congressman or contact your senator to make sure that they support this legislation. And the legislation basically is a simple one. It's basically defining as hangar homes as compatible airport use. And that's a very simple concept, but it's one we're having difficulty getting the FAA to understand.
All right. Well, Brent, hopefully this will help some folks understand the issue better. And if they want to get in touch with you, throughthefence.org is a great resource. We thank you for taking the time not only to join us today, but for keeping this fight up. And keep the pressure on, man. This is something important.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time, Paul. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Brent Blue's website can be found at throughthefence.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.